Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, to the Winners Coming Game of Thrones podcast. I'm your host, Razor, and I'm here with Isis, Corey Smith, Corey Thung, and tonight our special guest is the editor-in-chief of Winners Coming, Dan the Man Silky. Dan, how are you doing this evening?
Fantastically, Razor. How are you?
I'm doing great, man, and thanks for asking. Nobody ever asked me how I'm doing. I'm always trying to be nice to everybody else, but I appreciate you asking.
No one cares.
You care about me, Isis, and you know you do. Tonight we're going to be talking about spoilers and leaks. We haven't really had anything all year long. It's been a drought. There's been some ridiculous supposed spoilers and leaks to hit the Free Folk subreddit. But last week, the reliable leaker, Freaky Doctor, dropped in an episode one, I guess you could say line-by-line leak that he claims is absolutely legit. So we're going to be talking about that tonight. And so if you don't want spoilers, please turn around now and go listen to History of Westeros, because it's in the top 10 best Game of Thrones podcast, and we aren't. We're not bitter about it. Anyway,
damn.
God damn them. Anyway, before we get into it, Dan, today more photos came out for season 8. And on Take the Black Live, in case you guys don't know, which you probably already do, because out of two podcasts on Winter's Coming, we're second rated. Take the Black Live is always number one. But Dan has talked about a little bit of would you call it photo fatigue right now, Dan? Is it flooding the market right now?
No, photos are fine. I don't have them with pictures. I mean, listen, this is a problem that is exclusively a problem for people who write about Game of Thrones all day and fantasy stuff on Wick, is that there are just a lot of interviews coming out. You know, I mean, all publications, like, interview these people back when. Now they're allowed to put them out. It's frustrating for me to cover it all. I don't really think it's, like, a problem that most people have, so I wasn't planning on complaining about it. But if you're interested, for me, it's vexing to get to all of this stuff. But you, whoever's listening, you go about your day and have a good time.
It kind of seems like they're piling on, like, here 3 weeks out. And
well, of course they are.
Dumping, like, it's like a big, massive dump of it's a massive dump. It's a massive info dump of Game of Thrones Season 8. And really, it just seems like they're kind of showing us what's going to be happening in the first couple episodes. And I guess I don't know if you guys noticed, we're not really seeing anything conclusive, really. I mean, I think the only thing we've seen in any of the promotion, well, photos or even the trailer, was that Beric and Tormund are alive. So they haven't really shown us anything at all, which I'm kind of happy about. And we talked about this our last podcast, but you also
missed that Shuri's dead as well. Oh no! I'm sorry. That's Avengers. I'm sorry. That was Avengers. My bad.
We got to continue on. So let's get right into the fun. We're gonna play a little game I like to call bullshit or legit. So I'm gonna ask my illustrious panel here what they think of some of this leak for episode one, and they're gonna get their opinions. So here we go. Right away, it starts off. Freaky says that Varys and Tyrion are arriving at Winterfell. Tyrion makes a joke about Varys' genitals or lack thereof, and I'm going, how many times do we have to have this joke where Tyrion makes fun of the fact that Varys doesn't have his twig and berries? Like, I don't understand. But it also strikes to me that it's kind of a very, like, if you're going to be leaking something and you leak that there's a joke about genitalia in the opening of the episode, that's really like, it's kind of nail on the head, spot on stuff that if it doesn't happen, then Freaky Doctor is completely, I don't know, I guess ruined his name, right? Like, Phone, what do you've been here watching Freaky spoilers since last year, right? We read about him last year. Starting this the episode off with a joke like that, it's either going to hit or it's not, and then we'll know if Freaky's a liar. What do you think?
I don't know. I think I don't get the point, I guess, of making up something like that. It's completely, you know, unnecessary. Like, there's the only game there is, I guess, would be to troll people. But if he was going to do that, honestly, if I was going to mess with people, I would get the stuff in the first half of the episode right, tell people, like, all these things that were going to hit, and then, you know, at the end of the episode, be like, yeah, and then Danny has her dragons eat Arya alive. And
that's and a good idea.
Yeah, and then so like the 3/4 of the episode, every spoiler was nailed. Like, but, oh, he did make the no genitalia joke about Varys, and this, and then my God, they're gonna eat Arya, and then it doesn't happen. You know that, but you know he didn't do anything too crazy. There weren't really any crazy leaks, I don't think, from episode one. So except for the stuff the you know groundwork they're laying for the overall leaks that we've already kind of talked about. So
well, and there's a couple of big things in here that if they don't happen, then I mean there's a couple of setups in here. Like let's I'll skip around a little bit, but Isis, let me get to you on this point. This you. I'm sure you read it. We talked about it last week a little bit in our little chat box, but Jon Snow is going to ride a dragon in episode one, according to this leak. He's going to, and this is going to be before the reveal that he's actually Aegon Targaryen. So Danny's going to take Jon out to Drogon and Rhaegal, who've been kept outside of Winterfell, but Dothraki are watching over the dragons because they are used to them by now, I guess, more than anybody else, apparently, according to this leak. And Danny's gonna kind of basically dare to get the back of Rhaegal because two dragons versus one is better than one on one, I guess. So, what do you think, Isis? Bullshit or legit? Jon Snow rides a dragon in episode one of season 8.
Well, I'm gonna have to go to legit to quit. Absolutely. I totally believe it. It needs to happen. If it's going to happen, we only have so many episodes. Let's get that motherfucker on a fucking dragon, and let's get this party started already. Let's go, because we don't have this much. We don't have time to just pussyfoot around the fact that he's a Targaryen or that he can ride a dragon or he would be able to ride a dragon. Let's just get it over with. And so I'm all for it. I totally believe it.
By the way, that's what I call myself when I drive my car, is driving a dragon. So we can keep that. Yeah, I don't know. Dan, is that kind of a huge kind of reveal to be doing in episode one? Like, is that something like I kind of expected it to happen. Like, I've always wanted Jon, and I thought Rhaegal, being the fact that Rhaegal's named after his own by Jon's father, it's a perfect set up for Jon to ride Rhaegal, but I kind of thought it might happen like episode 2 or 3, or I don't even know, maybe 4, I don't know. But I guess the fact that the big battle is going to start in episode 3, it makes sense that Jon's got to practice, right?
Yeah, it makes enough sense, sure. Why not get it out of the way? I'm actually more curious about the rest of that, and for you, Isis, because I know you're a fan of Jon Snow, Cinnamon Bun Man, whatever. The rest of that spoiler was they go up, like, they fly. John flies Rhaegal. They fly around for a while. I'm sure it'll be very How to Train Your Dragon spectacular, swooping and everything. And then they get down and they make out. Are you into that, Isis?
Okay, so there's a part of me that is totally down for it. And then there's another part of me that goes, can we just get the fucking fighting? Like, can we get to that part? So yes, you know, the fangirl in me for my beautiful little cinnamon bun, too precious for this world, absolutely want him to be knocking boots with Danny, not his aunt. I'm trying to scrub that from my mind. And yeah, it's going to be really, really hard. But still, I want it to be like, you know, How to Train Your Dragon, i.e. like the Aladdin, where they're on the rug and it's a whole new world.
Yes, in my mind, feels like a little bit.
Yes, that's in my mind. A whole new world. Yes, that's where I'm going with this. And I'm totally fucking digging it. But on the flip side of that, I'm thinking we are pressed for time, people. I'm looking at my watch, going, let's hurry this up.
Gotcha.
So, I'm on the fence. I'm actually on the fence on this one.
What I like about it, about the makeout stuff, is that, I mean, it does seem kind of like A Whole New World Aladdin cheesy to me, but the thing that makes it work to me is that you know they're going to have it, and in the background is always this thing, but they're related, and they're going to find out. And I like the fact that they can make it really cheesy, only to drop the thing later, where it's going to be, you thought that it was a Disney movie? Oh no, it's like the worst kind of thing possible.
Yeah, it's like your nightmares, you know. And then they like come back from that euphoric. It's so fan fiction. So you know they come back.
It totally is.
Yeah. So like the euphoria of like just making out or doing the McNasty,
like
and
in
then,
the air or whatever.
Yes. Like so. Like again, you know, like on the rug, on the dragon. It's really, really crazy. You know,
it's totally fan fiction, but with the caveat of, and you're related and have to fight each other for the throne. So that's the fun part.
Does this make Sam a poo or what? Or a boo?
No, I was going to say, in this scenario, John is Jasmine.
If yes! We're being,
yes!
Of course, he is way hotter than her. So
well, there's that, but also... Jasmine. But also, John is the newcomer to the flying contraption, experiencing the whole new world that Danny has been.
Brain is totally the genie.
Yeah.
And instead of Jasmine having a tiger, she has a ghost dog
that we may or may not see.
Yeah. Whichever, you know.
I guess that makes Bran the genie, and yes. Iago is Davos Seaworth.
Ooh. Yeah.
No, Iago's totally got to be like Bart.
I'm digging this cross pollination of fan fiction between Aladdin and Game of Thrones. I'm down for it. Yes, cosign. No, seriously, I think what Dan's hitting on is really, you know, it's going to heighten that whole situation even higher when they go, yeah, they drop that damn nuclear bomb and say like, you know, hey, y'all are related, and not only that, Danny, you thought you were the queen. Nah, not really. Which is going to make, you know, when that bomb drops, I think Sansa is going to have the biggest shit-eating grin. And I guarantee you she's going to tap into her inner Cersei and be like, I'm going to need a drink for this.
Well, that brings me to the next point, and great segue. Sansa, and according to this leak, is not happy that Jon bent the knee to Dany, and she's going to question him about his reasons why. He bent the knee. So, like, he did it for love, or he did it for help fighting the army of the dead, whatever. Phone, this leak also says that Jon is going to ask Arya for help with Sansa. And then we've had an article come out where it was Macy Williams and Sophie Turner, where they talk about Macy said that Arya doesn't actually like the fact that Jon bent the knee either. So how do you think this is going to roll if Jon asks Arya for help? His favorite sister, by the way, is his favorite sibling. And what if she turns him down and is like, no, I don't like her either. We got to get rid of her.
I don't think that she's going to turn Jon down for help. I think she's going to trust John and his judgment. She's going to have her reservations as well. They all will, of a Targaryen, as they should, you know, being Starks. But I think that very similar to last season, where they tried to make us think that Arya and Sansa were going to, you know, have a fight or whatever for Winterfell. And they did a really bad job of making us think that, because all of us were like, this is stupid. And this is going to be easier because it's going to be Dany versus, you know, the Stark girls, I guess. Or not just the Stark girls, be everybody. But Jon, everybody's going to be skeptical. But I think they'll turn around on that. I don't know. I don't think they'll lead that on too long. I do think that the revelation of who Jon actually is will cause strife between Dany and Jon, but I don't see Sansa pulling too much of a little finger and trying to like get in there and take advantage of it or whatever.
So do you not buy Sansa versus Danny in season 8? Is it more of like a first time meeting type thing? They don't really like Sansa doesn't really trust her or like her, but as the season progresses, maybe she learns to like Danny. Or do you think, like a lot of people are saying, Sansa's going to try to pull the ultimate power move and do something to get rid of Danny, or she's going to fight?
If she does that, then we know how Sansa dies. So I don't, but I personally think that Sansa, they're like I said, they're all obviously going to be wary of the Targaryen, but I think that Sansa and Danny will have a lot to, I mean, obviously we're limited on time, but you know, have them pour some wine and talk about their shared past. And I think that they will have a lot in common. I think they're both, you know, they've both overcome so much. They've both, you know, have had tough times in the past, we'll say. So they're both survivors. And I think they, you know, I don't think Sansa has aspirations for the Iron Throne. I think she wants Winterfell. Like, I think she, and not like wants it to rule it with an iron fist. It's home, and she has no hard plans to leave it again, you know, anytime soon. And so,
didn't she say in season 7, if I remember, I don't know if I'm remembering this correctly, but like she never wanted to, she should have never gone south. She should have stayed home. Like,
that's the Stark thing.
It was a mistake.
Well, good. So I think it's good that there's got to be a come to Jesus meeting or a come to R'hllor meeting, whatever the fuck you want to say, between the power females of this in this certain area of the show in Winterfell. Because you've got Arya, you've got Sansa, you've got Dany's going to be there, and then you've got, like, you know, Sansa's backed up by Brienne. There's a lot of things going on.
I heard a spoiler that Lyanna Mormont's not too happy about this situation either.
That was my next thing, and this is what's going to be so fun. And I was going to Isis. Let me bring this to Smith real quick, and we can all chime in on this. But the leak says that Lyanna Mormont gets really pissed. Like, she's not happy about a Targaryen being in Winterfell, and how they elected Jon, or they made Jon king in the North. And Jorah Mormont's going to try to calm Lyanna down. Now, if I was a betting man, I would put a hundo on the fact that Lyanna would bitch slap Jorah, like a backhand to Jorah. But I want to know how you think that's going to go down, Smith.
Yeah.
Lyanna versus Jorah.
No, I think you're 100% right, because I think Lyanna's going to bring up the fact, like, listen, you betrayed our house. You brought shame on our house. You were trading slaves and got exiled to Essos, and now you want to come back here and try and tell me what to do? Like, she's not going to have that for freaking 1 second. And yeah, I think we kind of saw last season, because it was more than a year ago, all the Northern lords kind of disagree with Jon going south. And I don't think that's going to change just because Dany shows up. But I do think that this is going to get settled a lot faster than that whole Sansa Arya Littlefinger thing from last year, just because we know episode 3 is the big battle, right?
Right.
So they don't have a whole lot of time to screw around with that, because by the time episode 3 comes around, it's time for war. So I think we're going to have all this kind of settled, or at least put on the back burner for that episode. And then after that, we're, you know, going downhill on the roller coaster, and we're not going to have a lot of time for, I think, what really is kind of a minor plot, right?
I guess. I mean,
okay, we don't really get along. Wah, wah, wah. Like, okay. But like, they're not actually going to fight. So what are we talking about?
And let's be honest, I mean? Jorah's not going to make it out of the Battle of Winterfell. Let's all just make peace with it right now. Yeah,
he's definitely going to die.
Yeah, he's a goner. He's not making it.
I do disagree a little bit, though. I mean, Dany versus Sansa, no, that's not going to happen. But I do think that once the whole parentage thing gets out, like, I wonder if, I'm pretty sure they're going to lose that giant battle. Pretty damn sure. Because it's episode 3, there's still 3 to go. I think, you know, the good guys have to lose first to like so they can kind of triumph in the end. Right. I wonder if it'll be they'll lose because they're too busy fighting. That'll be like the takeaway, the lesson kind of thing. We'll be prepared enough or something. And also, I think it's not just Sansa versus Dany. It's going to be we'll learn that they're both that Jon's an heir to the Iron Throne. Daenerys already is an heir to the Iron Throne. And I'm looking forward to seeing characters take sides. Like, I'm not saying they're going to fight the armies or anything, but I think that should be and will be a thread throughout the season that they'll have to deal with and might interfere with them trying to fight the White Walkers, which is kind of in keeping with the show the whole time. The whole thing has been the entire show, we're not dealing with the White Walkers because we're too busy fighting amongst ourselves.
But see,
and I think it makes sense to do it in this kind of smart, like, why should that stop now?
But the only thing with that is we've seen like Dany's forces lining up to defend Winterfell. And we've seen them all sides of that potential argument or whatever you want to call it, defending Winterfell. So I just feel like I don't know that it'll end up being a big deal out there. Not a big deal, but I think it's going to matter the most to Jon and Dany. But I think they'll keep it between the two of them, and I don't think it's going to spread.
I don't think that can be kept between the two of them.
Not a secret. I'm saying like I think that the impact of it is going to be mainly between the two of them, and I don't see because we see Grey Worm lining up, we see Jorah lining up, we see Brienne fighting. Obviously, we see Jon fighting. So they're all fighting at Winterfell, right? So. To me, that says they're not necessarily the two sides, if you want to call Jon.
I agree with Smith. It's going to be resolved by episode two. I mean, for the most part. It's going to be resolved. I tell you right now, it's going to be resolved, for the most part, whenever the White Walkers show up at the latest.
Right. I say nay. I mean, I'm not saying that they're not going to... Like, they're going to be together enough to fight an existential crisis that threatens all of humanity. But I expect the division to be a prominent theme throughout the whole season. At least I'm hoping it will be. Like that to me is more interesting than we resolve it by episode two.
Yeah, I agree with I'm with Dan on this one. I think it's a great storyline to have. Like, you know, yeah, of course they're going to be fighting on one side against the Army of the Dead, but there's going like maybe there's mistrust now. Like maybe you know if Jon's parentage comes out and everybody knows about it by episode two. There's going to be some mistrust, obviously. The Northern Lords don't trust anybody from the South, especially Targaryens. And the fact that Jon is forced Dany down their throat by bringing her to Winterfell, letting her sit, because we've got photos of her sitting at the main table, looking very mean and very upset. She is not
pleased.
She is not pleased. So you know somebody's calling her out on her shit at that meeting. So...
Wait a minute. Calling her okay. I'm not. I don't think I need to defend Dany. But holy shit, defending. You know, calling her out on her shit. I mean, are we? What exactly are they calling her out on? I mean,
being
I guess
a Targaryen.
Her
dad being a bad guy.
So her dad being a bad guy is what they're gonna call her out on.
The North remembers.
I'm not saying it's gonna be fair. It's not gonna be fair. But I'm hoping at least that there's. A lot of conflict throughout the whole season, but I could be wrong. They might resolve it all.
No, I mean, I don't think you're. I don't think that you. I think it would make for a better show if there was a lot more conflict. I think there's going to be two sides of this conflict. First, the first conflict is that Jon bend the knee. They're going to be really super pissed off about that, right? Then when they find out that, oh no, Jon, you're a Targaryen and you are actually the rightful heir, you should be the king or whatever, then there's going to be the whole dynamic is going to turn around and go, no, this is a problem between Dany and Jon. You know what I mean? So
right.
I think that's where the dynamic is going to change there. Yeah. And then, you know, Dany could most certainly say, well, I'm taking my fucking dragons and my Unsullied and I'm taking them home. Bye, bitch. And she could just go ahead and jet out if she wanted to. She's not.
No.
But I really feel like that's where this whole thing is going to play out, is that they're going to, this is going to be throughout the whole entire series. But they're going to still have to fight these wars. And some of them, they're not going to win. Like, because I think that makes it a better show. I mean, that makes it a show I want to watch, is that these internal conflicts is what prevents them from elevating themselves to where they need to be.
Yeah, and, that's what I see.
Yeah, and I love that. I think that makes for a better show. Then they just go ahead and they just will it and make it happen. But yeah, I think this whole internal thing is going to be a theme throughout the whole thing. But I really, really want to see, because we know what's going to happen is when Danny, because I think one thing that's going to come up is the fact about Danny burning what's his name's brother.
We're going to get to that in a second. Absolutely.
Well, I'm trying to give you a segue here, dude.
Well,
I'm feeding them to you.
I want to hear Phone's counterpoint to this.
It's not a counterpoint. I'm doubling down and agreeing with ISIS that I'm disagreeing with, you know, the two people who kind of run this place. So I
anarchy.
I'm with ISIS. I'm totally with ISIS. That's my opinion expressed better.
Yeah, Smith and ISIS both said it. We don't really have the time for them to play around with the distrust. I think the distrust is going to rise initially with Sansa and Arya in the North. And yeah, there's going to be a, town hall meeting where everybody yells at Dany, and Jon will vouch for her, and Tyrion will probably try to vouch for her. And they'll be like, shut up, imp, you know, you're a kinslayer or whatever. And it's going to be kind of, you know, and then Sansa's going to be like, Tyrion was really kind to me. And it's just going to be like this circular thing where nobody really gets a resolution on that, and then actions will be the thing that bond them together. Dany getting to communicate with people one-on-one while she's, you know, around Winterfell, and then the fight's going to happen, and well, probably before the fight, maybe in episode one, if I remember correctly from the leaks or whatever, Jon and Dany are going to find out who they are, and that's going to be the next that's going to be the next conflict. It's going to move on from Sansa and Arya, you know, distrusting Dany to Dany now wondering what Jon thinks, what he is, all that crap. And I think we all would probably agree that Jon's going to be like, I don't want the Iron Throne.
He never wants any.
He never wants any of that. And so that's going to end that conflict as well. And then the conflict's going to be, but do I want to bang my aunt? And it's going to be like, no, I shouldn't do that. And then she's going to be like, but look at this bod. And they're going to be like, you're right, we should
switch. Should I bang my aunt? But the sex is really good. But should I? But it's really good.
You've already done it, so once you, it's like, you know, I've already done heroin, just keep doing heroin, fuck it, you know, just go with it. But it's, yeah, that's so I tend to agree with ISIS and Corey that this conflict will happen faster, and that the whatever happens after the Battle of Winterfell will be the conflict that rides us to the finale, if you will, because I don't think it'll be there. I think that the Realm One stuff will be sorted out by episode three.
Okay. Go ahead. One more real fast point. I mean, I think I agree with you guys more than you think. It's just, I think the distrust of Dany will roll right into the we are both rivals for the throne, technically. Mm-hmm. I think you take that distrust and then you turn it into supporting Jon's claim over Dany's. Like, I think those conflicts are kind of the same thing. And I expect them, I hope that they will kind of ride out the whole season.
Yeah, because I think we're all kind of on the same side of this. Just it's a little bit of a different skewed view here. Is I think that mistrust will lead to one of Jon's epic speeches, right? Like,
oh god, yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's gonna happen in episode four. You know,
my lords. The battle.
None of it matters, but it, they're going to have.
Why did he become Billy Connolly?
No, man.
I know, right?
Terrible impersonation. I don't care.
I think it'll be more of a private conversation, because again, I think he's gonna spend the beginning part of the season trying to convince everybody else that they should follow Dany, and then he's gonna spend the rest of the season on, like, basically trying to come to terms with his new parentage. And then working with Dany to make this, you know, instead of just him being the king, that they're going to rule together. You know what I mean? Which that's where I think he's going to go. And he's going to be like, sure. You know what? I don't have to be the king. I can. I mean, again, this is all shit I'm coming up off my head and probably fan fiction. But I that's where I think it's going to happen, is that it's going to be the second part of this is going to be more intimate. It's going to be between him and Danny.
Well, let's get to that point about John learning who his parents are. So in this leak, according to this leak, Danny's going to meet Samuel Tarly, and she's going to tell him that she had to burn his father because he would not bend the knee. And Sam's going to be basically like, he deserved it. He was a dick. And then she's going to tell him, well, yeah, and then I burned your brother. And then Sam's going to be all upset, shed a tear, and then, like, go and tell John not to trust Danny. She can't be the queen. You're the king, and here's why. This also leads to another thing, that Bran is throwing off the responsibility for telling John his parentage to Sam, according to this leak. Dan, bullshit or legit?
Inaccurate. I don't recall that part from the leak. I'm sorry, I don't. I recall that they tell them together, don't they? In the crypts?
Well, it's basically... Where did I... I'm looking at it right here. Basically, he tells... like
Sam, I mean, it's all hearsay down. Anyway.
But... it's all hearsay, basically. But Bran has the chance to tell John. He has a chance to tell John who his parents are, because they have their reunion and all that stuff, and he never does. And then Sam is the one that comes down to the crypts while John is visiting either Ned or Lyanna's statue, and Sam breaks the news to him. I guess maybe I'm reading into
a little bit. Yeah, that part is. And I recall the bit where Sam, at least from the translation of the Spanish-speaking spoiler person who may be telling the truth, I'm pretty sure he is, that, yeah, the key point to me was Sam saying that kind of pushing, not just telling John he's the heir of the Iron Throne, but that you should probably be the king because this lady burned my brother and I'm not cool with that. So that's kind of why I think, like, to your point, Isis, that I'm sure John would like to keep it private between him and Danny and to work together. I'm not sure other people are going to want it that way. And I don't think the secret stays between them or can stay between them. And that's where I'm seeing the conflict coming up. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Plus, you know, if Sam knows, Gilly knows. And Gilly will just blissfully tell everybody everything.
And Sansa will find out somehow, and she'll push it for John.
Wait a minute. Where did you come up with that Gilly is a fucking, like, you know, oh, girl. Did you hear?
Gilly's not a gossip. Gilly just likes to tell
me. Bitch, did you hear this? Gilly. Oh, hell no, girl. They're on... and nephew, it is so fucking nasty. Oh my god!
No, let me tell you how I see it happening. If Gilly's the one that breaks it to everybody, like they're all sitting down to eat dinner, and Gilly just happily says, "Hey, I think what you and John are doing is cool. I had sex with my dad, and that's why I have my son today. So hey, good on you."
That is so horribly wrong. She knew what was going on to her. I'm going to have to stand up for Gilly at this point. She knew what was going on. Not copacetic. Hold not on a second. I like her as a character, but I feel like I need to save her, speak up for her, and stand up for her. That poor Gilly girl. Man. Okay, I completely agree with Dan. I think he would want to keep it private, the fact that they're family, that they're related, but there's no way in hell that's gonna fly. And I see Varys, because Varys is there. He is gonna be, if anybody's gonna find out something or sniff out something, it's gonna be Varys. Mm-hmm. He's gonna be the one who's gonna be like,
totally see it. Or Sam leaks it, because he's the one who's angry. Like, I can see John being like, don't tell anybody, I want to work with her. And Sam's being like, no, she killed my brother, I'm going to force this issue somehow. So he maybe tells Varys or tells Sansa or something. It's going to get out somehow. The drama is too good for it not to get out.
Oh, it's juicy as shit. But my thing is this, is that as loyal as Sam has been. And I, granted, I understand that was his brother. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he loved his brother, because his brother treated him like shit too. And had no problem with his brother getting sent up to Castle Black. So I don't know where the loyalty is there, really. His sister, I can see that. His mother can see that. But don't really understand the loyalty to his brother. But, I, you know, to go back from that, I just don't know. I feel like his loyalty to John is more than his loyalty to his own family, to his brother and his dad.
You're right. Like, again, like, we didn't have all the information. I mean, yeah. And oh, you're right. I don't know everything.
Fan fiction here.
I'm totally are. I'm trying to get to a point where it gets out, because I will bet all the money I have that it does get out somehow. I don't know quite how. Sam could be a part of it. You know, he's Sam, like, he doesn't maliciously do it, but maybe he is a little looser than usual because of his anger. Varys hears something, one thing leads to another.
We see a heel turn on by Sam? Sam turns heel. He gets pissed off and, like, starts leaking everything to everybody.
Well, yes, I mean, I don't know, but I could probably see that it's Bran doing it, because he sees it as, in the future, this is something that needs to happen. That this secret needs to get out. It doesn't need to stay trapped, because if it does stay trapped, then what needs to happen in the future is not going to happen. I can very well see that as well.
Well, I want to talk about
him just fucking say it, like, all nonchalant and be like, yeah, you know, John's banging his aunt, right? Yeah, he's the rightful king. And just real nonchalant and shit.
Or they tell John, and Varys is literally in the crypt behind a statue with his ear up against a wall listening.
I would love that. I would live for that.
That'd be great.
That would be amazing. I want to talk about some stuff that's going on in King's Landing, but before we do, speaking of fan fiction, this leak also says that there's some sexual tension between Arya and Gendry, because he called her she, you know, remember, she didn't like that back in season 2 and all that. She didn't like to be called my lady, but he kept doing it to get under her skin. And also, it says, this leak says that Arya takes her Valyrian steel dagger to Gendry, and he reforges it into a spear or some kind of a stave, because she wants something better to fight the dead with. And we saw in that trailer that she's like a whirling dervish with a staff. So, Smith, what do you think about taking that Valyrian steel dagger and attaching it to a spear and giving Arya a little bit of a reach?
Sounds like a terrible idea.
What?
If they put on a wooden pole, it's going to get snapped off in like 3 seconds. And then there goes your Valyrian steel dagger. Plus, I just feel like she's going to keep that close to her because she works better. I mean, I know we saw her with the staff when she was in the House of Black and White, but I think she works better up close. I don't think she's going to want to attach it to a whatever. I could see them giving her a dragonglass spear, you know, just putting that the obsidian on there, but I don't think they're going to really modify the dagger too much. But I don't know. I guess, well, this, I mean, either
this
way.
This is one of those points that if it doesn't happen, because this is one of those specific points that they talk about reforging the Valyrian steel dagger into a spear. So,
yeah, I mean, well, they talk about how nobody really knows how to forge Valyrian steel. So where the hell did Gendry learn how to do it?
Well, actually.
Just saying.
Gendry's master was the only guy in the books, was the only guy who knew how to reforge Valyrian steel.
Didn't he also do Oathbreaker?
Yes.
Gendry's master?
Yes.
And the other sword. So he might have taught Gendry.
How to do Valyrian steel.
Gendry was just learning how to do a helmet back then.
You're a helmet.
That's right.
Set and match.
I guess if anything, I don't see him reforging it. I guess I could see them attaching it to a spear somehow, but as far as just like melting it down and reforging it, I don't think Arya would want that done, even if he could do it. So I definitely buy the sexual tension between Gendry and Arya, though. That is definitely going to happen when they see each other again. Because Gendry's always look. Every time we see him, he doesn't have a shirt on, and he's banging stuff with a hammer. And Arya's gonna be like, "Yep, want some of that."
Oiled up, shirtless Gendry with an older, much more mature Arya.
I am fucking here for it.
I knew you were gonna say that.
I am here for it. Sign me up. I am freaking here for all the sexual tension. I'm game for it. I mean, hell, after freaking being on the ocean and trying to get to land for so many damn years, I want him to get a little bit of action. I say that just, trying to be funny, but at the same time, yeah, I mean, I think it would make the drama of if them getting together and then something happening to either one of them even ratchet up the drama even that much more. You know what I mean? So, I think that they're going to play on our emotions, kind of like have these longingly looks at each other and everything. And then, one of them is going to die and, oh, crap, they killed, Gendry because that's, come on, let's be honest, that's who's going to die. And, you know what? I'm all here for him to forge something for his lovely lady. I think it's absolutely great. It just really, even if they don't really do anything except for look at each other, to be honest, for Game of Thrones fans, that is enough. Because look at our favorite Ginger and our favorite Blonde. They have done nothing other than, what's his name? Look at her and go, oh yeah, she's fucking fine and stuff like that. And we just eat that shit up. I mean, we're like shoving it in our pie holes. I really do see that happening. But anytime I can get Gendry without a shirt on, I'm here for it.
So let's go to King's Landing and talk about what's going on there. Apparently, Qyburn, being the master of whispers, or whatever he is in the Queen's hand, knows that one of Danny's dragons now belongs to the Night King. So he's got some good informers somewhere. Somebody's told him something. He tells Cersei about that. I don't really care about that. I don't really care how he got the information. It's not really important to me. What is important to me is the part about Cersei basically being forced into having sex with Euron because he brought the Golden Company across the Narrow Sea. Dan?
Yep.
Do you really see Cersei being forced at this point in her Game of Thrones, being forced into having sex with a dirty sea pirate?
Oh boy. Great, I have to answer this. I mean, I don't think it'll be forced. I think the way the spoilers read, it's that he comes back, he says, I brought you an army. And there's this really weird bit, by the way, in the spoilers where Cersei's upset he didn't bring elephants, which I'm looking forward to if that's true.
Right.
Which would be funny. I mean, I don't think it didn't read as forced. It read as, I brought my army, you promised me some sex, and she's like, fine. And then it happens. I mean, I don't... We could talk about the ins and outs of sexual politics for a while, but I dispute your characterization of it as forced. I think she does it because she thinks she has to get the army she wants to do what she wants to do with it.
Maybe that's kind of what I meant. I don't mean that he rapes her or anything like that. I'm just talking about she feels like she's got to have sex with Euron and if she wants to keep her alliance.
Well, because she did promise it to him.
She did.
So, she did. Yeah, I think force is too strong a word. I think she's probably just like... It probably is a little bit more like a chore to her, because she
did. Plus, she's got the mountain there, and all she's got to do is like lift a finger, and the mountain's gonna kill everybody. So
I don't see anyone forcing Cersei to do anything at this point in the story. I think at this point she's gonna do whatever the hell she wants, good or bad, for the rest of the series, and nobody's gonna force her to do anything that she really doesn't want to or feel like would help her out in some sort of way.
Fionn, we haven't heard from you in a little bit. Let me ask you this question. This leak says that Fionn knows that Euron has arrived at King's Landing and that Yara is with him. And so Fionn basically rescues Yara And then it doesn't make, it's not made clear whether Yara goes with him, but he asks her permission if he can go north and fight for Winterfell. You buy that? Do you buy that Theon rescues Yara in episode one?
Yeah, let's just get that shit out of the way. Like, that's a storyline that it's not bad, but it is very much a side story from, you know, agreed. At this point, we get, you know, we had the scene, you know, you're a Stark, you're half Stark, half Greyjoy. Oh, we have all that. So he proved himself. He beat up that guy in the sand. And here we are. Let's save Yara, either bring her back or don't. Let's do this. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
So I hope that's the case.
Yeah, because I think we get Theon at Winterfell. At the Battle of Winterfell. We saw
those leaked photos of the corpse blobs they had, right. And they were like House Greyjoy corpses. So
yeah, so I think we wrap up. I think we do wrap up one way or another. He rescues her, or she dies in the attempt, or whatever. But I feel like Theon is at Winterfell at some point during that battle.
So okay, we've got. Oh, I also wanted to go back to the Cersei thing. There's two or three different threads on Free Folk, people who, like, I'm a native Spanish speaker, and here's how Freaky lines it out. But in one of the threads, it says that Cersei makes a comment about having sex with Euron was like having sex with Robert. I would like to hear that. That would be fun. Like,
sick burn.
Sick burn, because we all know that she hated having sex with Robert. So, you know, it's kind of a, if we're doing a lot of callbacks from this season one, this would be another one of those obscure callbacks. Like, oh yeah, I had to bang the pirate, but it was basically like having sex with my husband. So anyway, they don't really have a lot going on in King's Landing besides the fact that Yara and Theon reunited. There's a rescue. Cersei is presented with the Golden Company. She has sex with Euron. Dan, a character that's lacking in this leak is Jaime. Like, there's nothing about Jaime in this leak.
No Jaime, no Melisandre. It's pretty much the two that I noticed. Yeah, right. They're not there. I assume he's making his way north. You know, there'll be one of those... That happens. Characters skip episodes all the time. It happens. So keep on galloping, Jamie. I'm sure you'll get there sooner or later. Episode two.
I hope they at least pan. I hope they pan to him, and it's like it has that making my way downtown. That's what I want. Is him just walking, and that happens. I mean, to me, that would be epic, because that would be like, you know, it's like him just. You know, galloping around, just like, yeah, making my way downtown and making my way down to Winterfell. In my mind, that's exactly what should happen, which I know sounds stupid, but I want that to happen so bad.
That would be amazing. But to your point of, yeah, characters get certain episodes and they aren't in some episodes. Can we really afford not to see Jaime at this point? Yes. I mean, like, you think so?
Absolutely, yeah. If he doesn't have anything to contribute to the episode, we don't need to see him.
Okay, well, I guess, I mean, and plus, obviously, this is just like the leaks for season 7. We don't know what the context is here. Maybe there is a shot of Jaime at the end of the crossroads or something.
Opposed to screen time quotas. I think it's a bad way to think about it. Just, I think, if you have a scene that you need a character to be there to do something, to move the plot forward, or to, like, develop, fine, have it. If you don't, like, put a scene just to have it there, just to appease some, you know, person on a podcast, don't do that, HBO. I know you're listening. Stay strong.
I could see them throwing in a little scene where Jaime and Bronn, like, Bronn catches up to Jaime on his way north.
Sure.
It's nothing, you know, not 5 minutes of Jaime, but just Bronn catches up to Jaime. Where are you headed? I'm headed north. Well, fuck, I'm looking for a castle. And then we move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, could happen.
Like, I don't think we'll see a lot of Jaime in the episode one way or another. But yeah, I could see that.
If we don't see him at all in this episode, or if he's just briefly shown with Bronn or anything like that, he's going to have screen time in episode two because he's got to present himself to John and Danny and pretty much plead his case to fight for the living.
And because, Brand and everybody, yeah.
Yeah, because out of all the new members of the Alliance that John's tried to put together to fight the dead, Jaime, once he gets to Winterfell, has the most to explain. Like, I don't know if Bran's going to reveal that Jaime's the one that threw him out of the tower, or if Bran just basically tells him, I know what happened. You know, like, gives him a little signal, like, you know, step out of line, buddy. I know what happened. All I do is tell my big brother. He's right here.
Like, so, Jaime says, the things I do, and Bran finishes, for love, like a creepy little call and response thing we did a little bigger last year.
Yeah, like the chaos is a ladder thing. But, yeah. Yeah, I like that. So we're back in the north, and Bone, this talks about Arya having a small reunion with the Hound, and that is not really much. Basically, he's not pleased that she left him on the side of a mountain with a broken leg or with his bone sticking out of his leg. But would you kind of like want to see more out of a reunion with Arya and the Hound? Kind of like, hey, you're alive. I'm proud of you. Or, you know, something along the lines of, you know, the Hound's so eloquent, you know, I'm sure he could come up with something to say to Arya, but, do you need to see a reunion between the Hound and Arya?
I mean, I'm looking forward to it, but I think that their individual stories have more to go after a reunion. Whereas, like, a reunion between Lyanna and Jorah, right? Like, that one's kind of got the upfront, and then it's over. I think Arya and the Hound have more story ahead of them together before it's all said and done. So I don't think the reunion's going to be as important, maybe, as the ending.
I gotcha. I think that I don't even have to have a reunion, but like maybe a head nod or glad you're still alive type thing. But I think there'll be more. It would be much more potent, I guess, is a word you could say, is if Arya saves the Hound during the Battle for Winterfell. Like maybe he's about to be attacked or killed. And she comes in and saves him, you know? Like, that would be a good moment.
I'm now thinking, what if we're in the Battle of Winterfell, Arya is injured and is lying on the side of the road, and the Hound could take her, but chooses to just leave?
Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
Why are y'all implying that the Hound is not going to be freaking happy to see Arya? I don't...
Of course he would.
Because the Hound is not happy to see anybody.
Yeah, but him and Brienne had that moment where clearly he was happy to find out that Arya was safe and could take care of herself. So yeah. I don't see any kind of I mean, yeah, he's not going to like run up and grab her and spin around in the air while, you know, butterflies fly out of the snow. I guess that didn't really work.
What?
But yeah, I went with a metaphor and it just didn't work. So. But I feel like he's going to be happy to see her, even if he's not super expressive about it. I don't think he's bitter towards her at all. And I think that that's going to be, I mean, that's one of the reunions I'm looking forward to the most after John and Arya.
Huh. Interesting thought. I mean, yeah, I want it to be nice because you got reunions like Tyrion and Sansa.
That one doesn't have a whole lot of emotional weight for me. Like John and Arya obviously is the big one. That's top of the
list.
That's
the one I need. I need that.
Right. That's number one. And then after that for me is Arya and the Hound, because they went through so much together. She had the Hound on her list originally and then took him off it. He, you know, was begging her to kill him and she didn't. And, you know, and then again, and like I said, in season 7, him and the Hound and Brienne have that moment where clearly he is relieved / happy that she is safe. And like Brienne says that she can take care of herself now. So I feel like that's going to be, I don't think it's going to be tears, but I think that for me is going to be one of the more emotionally powerful reunions that we're going to have. And we're going to have a freaking ton of them in the first episode.
Yeah, I think we're going to be kind of mowed over by all the reunions and all the emotions that's going to be hitting us in episode one and probably two as well.
Can I just say, I think that you're expecting some sort of emotional thing between the Hound and Arya. I think you're not going to get it. If anything, it'll be comical.
No. I'm not saying they will have. I'm saying for me, okay, that's one I'm looking forward to.
Like, no, I wouldn't be surprised if the exchange literally was like the Hound turns around and Arya's standing there and he's like, "Oh, so you lived?" And you know, like, she's like, "So did you?"
Punches her on the shoulder or something. Like,
no, I don't even think that. I think it would be words. It would just be like, you know, "So you lived? Oh yeah, you did too. Well."
Yeah.
You know, whatever. And like, that's just the end of it, you know? So,
that's going to be an understated one. But for me, that one will still be one of the ones I'm looking forward to.
Okay. Let's get to the last of this episode leak. This is supposed to happen at the very end of the episode. Tormund, Ed, and Beric are together at Castle Black and the Night King attacks. And the Night King brings his army to Castle Black. So apparently he's broken through East Watch. And they're going to go up the Castle Black and attack it. Which I don't know if it makes much sense, but whatever. Castle Black has been part of the show forever. It's got to either fall or stand. Something's got to happen at Castle Black, right? We got to get some kind of ending to our story at Castle Black. But the big takeaway from this thing here is there's a weird message written on the wall in White Walker language or sign, some kind of symbols or something. And it's supposed to be intriguing to viewers. Like, it's supposed to catch our attention and everybody's going to want to know what it is. So, Dan, I'm just going to ask you, what possibly could the Night King write on the wall that would be of any importance whatsoever? Or I've also seen it said in another thread that after he attacks the Castle Black, that the wall falls there as well, and then when the wall falls the Castle Black, that's when the message is revealed. So there's something underneath the wall that's revealed.
Yeah, this is the most intriguing and kind of the hardest thing to parse out of this, because I'm with you. I've read a few different things, and they never said the exact same thing. Like, I don't know if the message is on the wall, like the wall, or like the walls of the Castle Black, like the stone walls, or I've never heard that it crumbles thing before. That's new to me. I don't know. I'm definitely intrigued. I have no idea what it means, though. And I mean, I will say this. I disagree a little bit with you about it being weird that he's attacking Castle Black, because I think it makes sense that he would go for the Night's Watch, because remember, the White Walkers have been fighting the Night's Watch for the past, like, few thousand years. It makes sense to me that even if his main target is further south, the first fucking thing he does when he gets south of the wall is, I am going after those Night's Watch
assholes. Whoa, you kiss your mother with that mouth?
My mother's dead. And, she's not. She's fine.
That just happened.
God. We can swear on this show, can't we?
Yes, we absolutely can.
Yes, you can.
Earlier you said shoot or something, so I'm just a little taken back by the F-bombs. I mean,
I'm trying to get into character as the Night King with a couple of millennia of resentment against the White Night's Watch. So it makes sense to me that he would go for Castle Black first.
Yeah, like, there's 10 guys up there, right? He's killed everybody else. Might as well kill the 10 guys at Castle Black.
But the 10 guys he's been fighting for a couple millennia.
Yeah, basically.
Well, it also doesn't have to be the Night King himself, too. I mean, he could just send, like you said, there's, I don't know, what, 10, 15, 20, 50 guys there? I mean, he doesn't have to send... He could send one giant there and...
Nope. Utter annihilation. The entire army.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
this leak specifically says the Night King is there.
And I could see that. But I think if there is something under the wall, I don't think it'll be writing. I think it'd be their little symbol, the little spinny... You know what I mean? The thing where we saw with the heads in season one, and then later... at the tree when they made the Night King and all that stuff. So if it's anything, there's that gets either burned into the wall or revealed through a crumble. I could kind of see something like that, but this was the part of the leaks that made the least amount of sense to me. it seems really out of character. Like, who's he leaving the mark for if he kills everybody?
Well, I don't think it's doesn't make sense. I just think it's no one's translated it quite right because it's
yeah,
the same.
Right, and maybe that's what it is. We're just not really it, but to me, like, the Night King, like, after he kills everybody and then he, like, gets a can of spray paint and he puts his symbol, like, that just, I don't know, that so sounds really, yeah, like, it just, the Night King was here, I don't, it, that whole part of it just,
the Night King was Banksy the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he flips the switch and the wall comes down and there's his symbol, but, yeah, I don't know, so maybe we're just not, it didn't translate the right way, you know, maybe he arranges the bodies of the Night's Watch on the ground or something in front of the wall or something like that. I could see that a little bit more.
What if it's a message, though?
To who?
Bran sees it. Bran sends his little crows out. He sees it. Maybe it happens after the wall crumbles. Bran sees it, and he learns something valuable. And
but, like, what message is he sending? Hey, I'm the Night King? Bran already knows he's the Night King.
This doesn't say that the Night King left the message. It just says there's a message there written on the wall. And, like, so it could be anything. If it's something that's revealed by the wall crumbling down, it could be something that we've always heard, that even Uncle Benjen said that
there's ancient symbols and
ancient
right.
spells and, were woven into the wall. So,
and maybe that's true. I mean, I could see something like that. But I guess either way, what I'm saying is I think we're definitely missing some part of this.
Okay, so this comes back to what we talked about last year, both when the season, pretty much the whole season leaked, and then, which last year isn't the best example because a lot of the stuff really was that dumb, but there was, like, I think it was the guy that plays Sam once and was asked, like, you know, about spoilers and, like, what do you tell people when they ask for them? And he's like, well, the whole problem with this show is that it's a fantasy show, like, at it's, you know, full of these fantastic elements. So if I was to tell you that, like, yeah, you know, this girl, she gets three, like, dragon eggs that are, like, calcified as stone or whatever, and then she catches them on fire and then dragons come out. And it's like, wow, that's stupid. Like, the whole show can sound dumb in a vacuum. Like, if they were to describe, when they did describe, and we said it last year, then it happened, and it was dumb. But they were like, yeah, the Suicide Squad goes north to wrangle up a Wight and bring it back down. We were like, well, that's stupid. And we were like, surely there'll be more to it than that. And, you know, they're kind of, wasn't, but regardless, the whole show is that way. If, you know, you were to tell someone a major plot point and didn't give them the X amount of plot development and scenes and things that led up to it, it just sounds silly or like it's not a finished thought. Like, when you say there's got to be more to this writing on the wall, there almost assuredly is. And it's, we just don't, that's the thing about these leaks, is they're all high points. You know, it's the mountaintop of a scene, not the walk up. And what Game of Thrones has always been about, which is why it works, it's why shows like Game of Thrones, the really level, like, tier one shows work, is that it's not just full of cool moments, Walking Dead. It's the things that got you there that were just as good and just as important. And when you reflect back, like, yeah, everybody goes, oh, yeah, you know, Battle of the Bastards or Hard Home, my favorite episode. It's like, really? That, like, the battle was your favorite thing? I mean, it's fun to watch, but you're going to, it wasn't the buildup. It wasn't like the story arc of Ramsay coming to an end. It was just the battle itself. Of course, like, there's so much that happens in those episodes, and it's going to be like that this season. There's so much that is going to culminate that just these leaks aren't giving you a full perspective of the show. So, for example, and I know we're talking leaks, so I'm just going to say it, the biggest leak that I've seen that we've all talked about before is that Tyrion betrays everyone.
No.
Right? And it's like, that sounds bad, and you would ruin the show if Tyrion just did a 180 in his entire character arc. If that is how it's going to go down, they're going to have to do a lot of storytelling and building for that in a short amount of time, which is why I don't necessarily believe that's just what happens. So, like, that's the show operates with way more of a build than just a moment, right? So these leaks are just moments, and a lot of them don't make sense on their own or don't have enough around them to even have them be plausible. So, you know, I don't know. I just, these leaks to me, the reason I think they're so legit is that they are like somebody telling you about something they watched. You know, that joke John Mulaney has about the New York Post is just like somebody telling you the news that somebody else told them. Oh, there's a perv in Queens. And, you know, like that's the headlines for the Post. That's what this feels like, is somebody that got to see the show or is editing it told this guy the highlights, and now he's telling us, and he's leaving out maybe some key elements.
That's a great point. I've always thought that.
Excellent summation.
It is. It really is. I was going to go around and ask everybody what they thought about this, and Phone pretty much summed it up perfectly.
Yeah. Right. No one else needs to talk. It's just the Corey Thone show now, which
shut it down. Let's all go home. Pack it up.
Isis, before we go, Isis, how do you feel
Isis
about this?
Isis is gone. She's gone.
Isis left? Yeah. Well,
she,
that's great. I wasn't paying attention to that.
She couldn't take any more of your bullshit.
Wow, that was really mean, and you hurt my feelings.
You don't have feelings.
You're right, I don't. Dan, how do you feel about this? You think the whole episode leak? You think Freaky Doctor has got a real somebody giving him information? Is this a legit leak?
Yeah, 100%. I would be shocked if this turned out to be true.
Smith, how do you feel about it?
I'm on the fence. I think most of it'll probably end up being true. I think kind of what Thone said for 5 minutes straight, though, is that, yeah, we're missing just a few of the details. And that'll make, you know, like with a puzzle, you know, we don't have all the pieces. But I think most of these are probably going to end up being correct.
Your puzzle doesn't have any pieces. All right.
I mean, honest to God, like, nothing in the leak is that surprising anyway. I mean, I don't think this.
That's part, is, like, I mean,
kind of a crazy thing.
Honestly, though, that's part of the reason that has me on the fence, right? Is because there's nothing in here that maybe if we all put our heads together, probably couldn't come up with ourselves, right? I mean, like Tyrion making a joke about Varys not having, you know, a stone and berries. Like, that's okay. Wow, shocking. You know what I mean? Or Arya and Gendry have some sexual tension. Again, shocking. You know, just there's nothing necessarily in it that sounds too off the wall. So part of me is like, well, you know, maybe he's just guessing. But he does have this particular leaker does have the track record of leaking all of season 7 down to some pretty accurate dialogue. So I do lean more towards it being correct.
Well, and I want to go back to a couple of our Take the Black episodes ago where Corey Thone said, you know, we were talking about the trailer, and he said, you know, that those pictures of Rhaegal and Drogon flying through the north, they have been digitally doctored to remove Dany and Jon off their backs.
It was and so obvious.
It's so obvious. It's Avengers Endgame, except for HBO. I'm very, very, and I want people to know that Corey Thone called it here first before we got this leak.
Yeah. Now, what I'm hoping for the end that they haven't leaked, and I have to do this because we actually haven't made a reference tonight, is that during the Battle of Winterfell, at dawn, they look to the east, and there is Theon riding the elephants that were missing that Euron kept for himself. And they crash in and they save the day. So,
well, thanks for not letting us get through a whole podcast without a Lord of the Rings reference.
You're welcome.
I really need to get like a soundboard, a mixer, and to start like play the Lord of the Rings theme song every time we, you know, da 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 da. So I'm gonna start doing that from now on. But so too bad Isis wasn't here to give her thoughts on it. Oh, Isis, are you back?
She was back.
I am. I'm here. Shit. I'm back. I was just listening in.
Boom.
Oh, shooky dookie now. What's up?
Isis, before we wrap up this episode of Take the Black podcast, I want to ask you how you feel. Everybody's giving their thoughts. Is this a legit entire episode leak? Does it make sense to you? Do you think it'll happen? How do you feel about it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I don't have any reason to doubt any of the stuff that he's saying. I mean, it's not like he's saying that boat sex is going to happen or the wall's going to fall, you know. Oh, no, that was last year. Oh, and no one believed those leaks either. Oh, damn. Okay, so anyway, I'm just saying I think they're completely plausible. And for some of them, I'm actually pretty much here for it. And for others, I've read fan fiction that kind of correlates with that. So, you know, win-win. So I'm totally down with it. And I have no reason to not buy it.
Okay. You heard it here, folks. First, everybody, Isis is down for it. So that's going to be our episode for tonight. Thanks for listening if you still stuck around long enough. I want to give a shout-out once again to Kenny Adamo, who always stops in to Winners Coming Take the Black Live on our Facebook page. Always is shouting out to myself or Corey Thone, Isis, and Smith. So, Kenny, we say hi once again to you. Thanks for listening.
Susie Nunez on Twitter actually tweeted at me during saying we need more Take the Black during the podcast, so I thought I'd throw one out for her too.
Very cool. So that's your shout outs for tonight. We'll be back probably next week. We're gonna start doing this once a week again because we're gearing up. We're 3 weeks away from the Game of Thrones season 8 premiere. I can't believe we're almost there. We're pretty excited about it. Oh, one more thing before we go. Phone, I want to ask you this because you're my TV guy. You're my film and TV guy. I trust you. HBO's got a 2-hour documentary that will be airing the week after the Game of Thrones season 8 finale, and it's called Game of Thrones. What's it called, Dan?
I forget. For the Watch? No, it's not.
The Last Watch. Game of Thrones, The Last Watch. It's a 2-hour documentary on how they made season 8. Some of our commenters on when it was coming was like, thank you, thank God, HBO, you're going to taper us off slowly. We can't go cold turkey on May 19th. How you feel about this 2-hour documentary, Phone? You think it's a great, I mean, obviously it's a good idea for fans of the show, but to keep hanging on and showing us what's behind the scenes, would you watch a 2-hour documentary on how they made season 8?
Am I going to watch a 2-hour documentary about Game of Thrones? I've sat here on a Thursday night for an hour and a half with you dum-dums just chatting about shit that we don't even know if it's going to happen or not. Of course I'm going to watch it.
You're going to have a podcast about the documentary.
Will. We assuredly will. We'll do a podcast about what we think is going to be in the documentary. And let me tell you right now, if it's a 2-hour documentary and I don't at least get 20 to 30 minutes of blooper reels, then I'm gonna be pissed. I want those like early 2000s DVD extra blooper reels that we used to get on like the Rat Race DVD and all the Rough Towers and stuff. I want an interactive menu screen. Like, I want crappy bloopers with the beeps between cuts. Give me that and I'll be happy.
Just like Emilia Clarke trying to say her lines and laughing for 10 minutes straight.
Yeah, that would be adorable.
Well, that's it for tonight's episode. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week for myself, for Isis, for Corey Smith, Corey Thone, and our special guest, Dan Selke. Thanks for joining us tonight. We'll be back. Valar Mothulis.